Chicken Money. Here is Susie Sunshine, as she's known on this very radio program. The whole rest of the world calls her Susan Schmidt when she's on all those other radio stations cheating on us throughout the week. But we're just going to have to deal with that.
You know you're my favorite.
Yeah, sorry, whatever. All right, we have so much to talk about here. First of all, can you explain, because this one's a little scary. There was a flash crash this morning with the British pound where it went down to like zero. What's going on?
It didn't go quite to zero, but it did go to a 31-year low. And right now it's normalized. It's come back from that, and it's trading at, you know, each British pound is worth about $1.24.
Which is super low, isn't it?
Super low, because just, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, it was $1.50. So truly, this is the 30-plus year low. If anybody is thinking about
30 years ago, it was like $2, wasn't it? Or $2.25
or something. If anyone is thinking of traveling to England, now is the time to do it, because the exchange rate is very much in your favor.
Or to buy wool, right? What else do they make that we need?
Cheap. Scotch. I don't know. Scotland.
What is it? Wedgwood plates, maybe?
So I think they adjust the price for the currency. I don't know. But, well, yes, potentially you'd want to buy that. But I think
chocolates. They have nice chocolates.
But more importantly, it's the flash crash.
She will have none of us today.
I know. But this is so interesting.
Yes, what happened?
Remember, we had a flash crash here not that long ago, and we put in effectively bumpers in our market, right? So the market couldn't fall that quickly. And the flash crash brings up the problem of high-frequency traders. There wasn't a lot of volume in the market. There's concern over Brexit. Remember the Brexit issue where Britain is leaving the European Union, and what is going to happen with that? So instead of having it be a soft, friendly exit, there's talk now of it being a hard exit where they're going to have to, you know, make some concessions. There's going to be some tough trade talk. That sparked fear in the pound. That caused this crash where a lot of people were selling. There wasn't anyone on the other side of the trade. The market was imbalanced, and you get the flash crash. It's since adjusted back, and so we're now back in normalized territory. But it's interesting to see that that can still happen in markets. And it's really because of the high-frequency traders that are just pummeling with volume when they see an opportunity. And if you don't have someone on the other side of that trade, it can cause an imbalance in the market.
But now it's stabilized.
It's recovered. But it was down, you know, as much as 10%. So it's recovered from that, and we're back to even keel and normalized. But it's interesting to see, folks, that this can still happen.
So somebody made some real money today, though, right? I mean, someone was able to get in
currency
on that trade
traders,
at the very bottom.
Some of the currency traders made a lot of money today.
What was the percentage move?
But it was about 10%. So that was, for currency in a day, that's a huge number.
And is that within the period of how much time during the day did
Oh, my gosh. That was, you know, within an hour. That was quick. That was really quick. So this is, when flash crashes start, it is a very accelerated, and that's the problem. It's an accelerated process. And so millions of trades are exchanging electronically right away. So within a matter of minutes, you have that big move, and it can, you know, it can perpetuate until the market and the market makers realize they've got a problem, they fix it. Sometimes they stop the markets, but it is an issue. And high frequency trading is generally, you know, contributes to that issue.
So the issue with high frequency trading, though, as you're pointing out, is all these computers are programmed.
Right.
It's very much like 2001, A Space Odyssey here. It's like the Hell 9000, opening up the pod
Computers
door.
Are programmed to trade based on certain signals. And so when you see this, and what happened here is they saw a certain signal, everyone piled in, and we're at a period of low volume. There weren't a lot of people participating in the market. So when you have a lot of volume, you have people matching. You have traders on both sides who want to buy and they want to sell. When you get a lot of computers who are all going in the same direction and no one's on the other side of that, it then creates excess pressure in one direction, and that can cause that interim anomaly in pricing.
Okay.
Jobs report today, I guess, a little underwhelming, 156 added, and then the major sectors, they said healthcare, food services, and restaurants.
I think that's why Obama got out of D.C., got out of town. You know what? I'm going to go home for the weekend.
I know. It was kind of a yawn report. It wasn't very exciting. So 156,000 jobs added. The average has been higher than that. You know, the average for the year to date has been 182,000. We're trending down. In 2015, our average was 229,000 jobs. So our job growth is slowing, but it's still there. The good thing about the report today was that the labor force participation rate ticked up. So more people are feeling confident enough that they can get a job, that they're going back trying to look for a job.
So this that number, I never understood that when people were talking about the return in 2009, 2010 off the lows. when there was a turnaround that these disaffected job seekers, and they use a term for them that didn't make any sense.
They actually fall out of the equation. When you stop looking for work and you're on the sidelines, then you fall out of the equation. So the unemployment rate is people who are actively seeking jobs. Those are the
who are collecting unemployment
who
insurance.
Are collecting unemployment. Those are the people that are measured. So when you get people who are no longer looking for jobs, they fall out of the formula. And what's good about the number today and the data that came out is that even though, interestingly, our unemployment rate rose ever so slightly, it was 4.9% last month, now it's 5, that fractional difference was caused by more people feeling confident enough that they could get a job, that they've re-entered the workforce and they're looking for one. So we want to see that participation rate creep up. That's a very good sign for the economy. It's a good indicator of consumer confidence. And that was a positive. The 156,000 number was just an okay. The market took that in stride. And really, that's an indicator for, back to our big question, when will the Fed raise rates? Mm-hmm. So speculation is that they're going to raise rates in December at their December meeting. And that's going to be on December 14th. And this number didn't dissuade anyone from that belief. It didn't really encourage anyone to jump on board with that belief either. It was really right down the middle. So speculation is that it's going to have no impact on the Fed's decision.
Okay, now oil. My mother's asking that I ask you about oil.
Your mother does like her energy stocks. Yeah. So oil this week was very interesting. It's had 2 weeks in a row where it's had some strength. So remember that last week.
What does that tell us?
I'm about to tell you.
Oh, sorry.
Don't jump the gun.
So you're acting like your mother now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
He's very concerned. So last week, we had a lot of the oil-producing countries meet in Algiers in the International Energy Forum, and they talked about potentially reducing the production of oil. Now, OPEC has a meeting at the end of November, and that's what is going to be talked about there. What the market got all excited about was that they're actually having this discussion, because prior to this, they were saying, nope, we don't need to talk about it. We're not even considering it. The fact that now they are going to consider it and they are agreeing to talk about it, the market took as a very good sign. So that was positive last week. And then flowing into that this week, we saw a bigger than expected drawdown on oil inventory here in the U.S. So more oil was used, more gas was used. When that supplies went down, remember, price is a function of demand and supply. So when we have that supply drop down, prices should go up. And the market took that as a good news that, all right, industrial economy is strong. There's this demand for oil. And therefore, oil prices started to come up.
All right. Stay right here. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is with us. We are talking about all of the things happening in the market. And I want to, before we let you go, I got to ask about the effect of these debates, because now everybody's paying attention, right?
Yes.
80 million people watched last the week before. Then you had 30 million, I think, watched the vice presidential debate.
Right. Now it matters. The market can only focus on one thing at a time. And now the election is what
and
it's focused
Sunday
on.
Sunday is a big deal.
And you also have this really extraordinary step that the intelligence community took to blame Russia for hacking the election. Which to me is like, wow. It just wonder what the economic impact is on that.
Right. And you wonder, now Trump, if will Trump deny that? Will Trump go, well, I don't believe anything they say, okay? So
I
sad.
Like Putin.
And I'll tell you right now, okay, believe me, we don't believe them. So we'll talk about that.